Hello, I'm Laura Puccavaltorta. I'm a content creator and an attorney, and this is Zoom Hit Part 2. You may or may not remember from Part 1 that renegade attorney Sylvia Moretti witnessed her older doctor paramour, Eddie, get assassinated during a Zoom meeting. He was shot in the head. And Sylvia decided to get together with her two friends, Wyshonda and Lillian, the crazy paralegal, to go to Charleston and help the police find the killer. At this point, they understand that Sylvia is kind of she's a suspect in this. The police really don't know yet who shot the doctor because the killer was dressed in a clown costume. Dear listener, we're about to read part two of this screenplay, and we're starting off in the Charleston Police Station waiting room just after Sylvia Moretti has met with Chief Randall. Here reading with me today are my son Dante.
Hello.
And my husband Marco.
Buongiorno.
And dear listener, I hope you will enjoy this second part of Zoom Hit. Interior, Charleston Police Station waiting room, same. Chief Randall and Detective Sonny Gregory watch Sylvia and Wyshonda leave. Chief Randall pretends to study a report until the two women are well out the door. Detective Fred Dorcas, still dressed like a homeless man, is slumped in a chair in the corner, dozing.
I've been thinking.
You want to know what I think?
No.
What I've been thinking is this. One of these three women killed Dr. Flanders. That lawyer lady planned it. She hired a hit woman.
Why?
Chief Randall pokes Detective Gregory in the shoulder. Because he was cheating on her and she was in love with him. I know that sounds strange, but love makes people crazy. Detective Gregory stares at the wall, looks around, picks up a report and stares at it. Then she shakes her head once.
No.
Detective Gregory goes back to working at her computer.
Lucky I'm the chief around here and not you.
Detective Gregory looks at Chief Randall with a stony face of disgust. She jabs her pen into the pen holder. Chief Randall walks over and pokes Detective Dorcas in the shoulder.
Dorcas, wake up and follow Sylvia Moretti.
She's staying at the Pluff Mud Hotel. Detective Dorcas snorts awake, stands up quickly, and salutes. Interior, Charleston, Pluff Mud Hotel Room, same day. Sylvia, wearing underwear, is standing with her palms pressed together, about to do a Mai Chi exercise. Wyshonda, wearing underwear, is seated on one of the two double beds, her feet sticking out in front of her. Wyshonda's paintings are leaning against the wall.
What are you doing?
Oh, it's just my new Mai Chi routine. It's Tai Chi for me.
Sylvia does a couple of yoga moves and then begins shadow boxing.
Okay, I don't get it. Why isn't Eddie's wife the main suspect here? Of course she wanted him dead.
The police want us to investigate. That's why they told me those lies about Eddie seeing a bunch of other women. A whole lot.
Sylvia continues her Mai Chi routine, extending her arms out to either side of her body. After a moment, she begins punching the air.
Why should we do their work? Like you said, they're pigs.
True, but I want to know who killed Eddie. And we can't trust them to find out.
We are smarter than the police.
Sylvia fluffs her hair.
Bottom line is, they want to find Eddie's killer. Make them look good, you know. Solve the case.
Sylvia raises her knees one after the other. Then she begins dancing around and shadow punching the air.
He was a white doctor and rich, so they care.
If it was the wife getting revenge, maybe she wants to kill us next.
Sylvia places her hands palm together back in the namaste pose.
Kill you. Not me. You.
The police chief says Eddie had sex with a lot of women. Why not you too? You knew each other. You know, the wife could suspect you, right?
Because I would have cut off his balls.
He would have replaced them with artificial ones. Eddie solved all his problems through bioengineering.
Not all of them, apparently.
The women slide back on their beds and almost fall asleep. Suddenly, Sylvia sits bolt upright.
Now let's go meet the wife.
Are you crazy?
I can tell by the size of her hands if she was the killer. The killer was 6 feet tall and had these narrow hands.
You were looking at her on the computer. All distorted and shit.
I've got the recording. I copied it before giving it to the police.
Let's get some sleep. Tomorrow I want to find a gallery for my paintings.
From off camera, we heard the sound of Lillian playing her trombone. Do, 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 do. Exterior, house of Edith Flanders, day. The Flanders house is large and imposing, with an expansive front lawn in a rich part of Charleston. In the front driveway, there is an expensive sports car with the trunk open. Edith Steiner Flanders, 49 years old, 5 feet 6 feet inches tall, a thin, dark-haired, witchy woman, is packing up to leave. The garage door is open. Sylvia parks the rental car on the street. She, Lillian, and Wyshonda exit the car and walk slowly up the lawn toward the front door. They gawk at the house and then look at one another with their mouths hanging open and their eyebrows raised. Sylvia and Wyshonda are both carrying notebooks. Sylvia reaches the front door and rings the bell. This is a bad idea. That woman is a witch. I can feel it. Lillian, Sylvia, and Wyshonda stare at the house.
Must be worth, what, $10 million?
Edith comes out of the garage and stares at the women, arms akimbo.
Hey, it's not her. She's not tall enough.
But her hands and feet are huge. Edith walks towards Sylvia, Wyshonda, and Lillian.
Hey, look what the cat dragged in. You must be Sylvia Moretti and friends.
Wyshonda, I've got nothing to do with this.
And I'm Lillian, definitely an accomplice. Sylvia holds out a hand to Edith in greeting. Edith glares at her.
I thought you'd show up.
You know, we just want to know who killed Eddie.
And do what? Congratulate them?
The police suspect me.
Ho ho, they suspect me too.
So, how come you get to leave town?
Well, I haven't been arrested. I'm moving to Palm Springs, California.
But you have to call in every day.
Yes, if I remember. The police have my new address. It's the sweetest bungalow, Art Deco style, next door to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Sounds beautiful.
It is. Finally, I'll get to spend time in the desert, enjoying the roadrunners and studying the cataclysmic geology.
Do you mind if we sit inside and talk?
I was a geology professor in Arizona until he forced me to quit my job and move here to this armpit state. I had tenure.
Armpit state? Hey, them's fighting words.
So did you kill him?
No, why would I risk going to jail? But I did make up a list of his friends for the police so that they'd leave me alone, complete with photos. You're on that list.
Is this a joke or something? Can I see it?
We're going back to Columbia tomorrow.
Come on inside.
The women walk toward the house. Detective Fred Dorcas, dressed as the homeless man again, drives by in an expensive van, like a Chrysler Pacifica. He stops and looks at the women. Wyshonda turns around and watches him. The homeless man drives off.
Huh. That homeless guy from the police station got himself a van. Pretty fancy.
Interior. fancy kitchen of Edith Flanders, same day. With Edith leading the way, Sylvia and Wyshonda, both carrying notebooks, walk into the large, bright white kitchen with fancy appliances and a long white marble island with chairs. Lillian follows them reluctantly, her arms crossed over her chest. Lillian is afraid of Edith. A large sectional leather couch faces the glass door to the backyard and pool. Edith walks to her computer at a side table and prints out three copies of a list of people with names and photographs. Sylvia and Wyshonda are admiring the view to the backyard and pool, the high ceilings, and the gleaming white kitchen.
Well, I guess you see why I married him.
Sylvia and Wyshonda nod their heads.
It was the wrong reason. Sit down, ladies.
Sylvia and Wyshonda sit at the island. Lillian remains standing. Edith pours them glasses of lemonade from a pitcher.
I ain't drinking that.
Sylvia takes a glass of lemonade, but Wyshonda hesitates.
All of a sudden, I'm not thirsty.
Sylvia drinks. Edith hands Sylvia a list of names with large photographs next to them. The audience can see the list. One of the entries is Bert Starlight, actor, Mount Pleasant, a queen. Another entry says Rose Kendall, doctor, MUSC, a real bitch. Each entry has an email address and some have physical addresses and telephone numbers. The list is several pages long and has about 25 names on it. Sylvia is included on the list. Sylvia Moretti, attorney, Columbia, South Carolina, young and stupid.
Wow. 25. He slept with this many women and men?
Edith grabs Sylvia's notebook.
Eddie sure got around.
These look like Facebook profiles.
Sylvia drinks more lemonade. She begins to get sleepy. Her head nods.
I've got to go.
See you later, Edith.
Wyshonda and Lillian exit as Sylvia's head falls onto the counter. Exterior, park near Edith's house, same day. Wyshonda and Lillian walk quietly away from Edith's house and toward a park bench. They sit on opposite sides of the bench. After a few seconds, they glare at each other.
Sylvia sure can be stupid.
I wonder if she's dead.
Your fault if she is. You're the new legal assistant.
What? And you're the so-called friend.
Interior. Fancy living room of Edith Flanders. 2 hours later. Edith is handing a water bottle to Sylvia, who raises her head from the counter, looking dazed.
Drink this.
Wyshonda and Lillian burst in.
What happened?
Is she dead or just cognitively impaired?
Oh, cognitively impaired. My head. Actually, I feel pretty good.
It wasn't poison or anything, just some ginger root tooth serum with a little peyote.
That's illegal.
So call the cops. You're all wanted for murder.
Not me. I didn't kill anybody.
I needed to go through Sylvia's notes. Now I can see you're all just playing detective.
Couldn't you have gone through my notes without drugging me?
And Sylvia here fantasized my husband was going to ditch me and marry her.
Yeah, that was my dream.
Huh, it would have turned into a nightmare for you.
Well, this is a pretty big-ass house.
It's a donut box. When I move to Palm Springs and patent my potions, maybe I can find a man who likes me best and not 27 to 30 other people.
Good luck with that.
I also found out that you did not kill Eddie, and now you're going to help me discover who did.
Why?
Gets us all off the hook.
I suggest you start with Bert Starfish. He runs a drag club, and he knew Eddie pretty well.
Do-do-do-do!
Exterior, driving rental car, same. Sylvia has parked the car in front of a neighborhood playground or park. She, Lillian, and Wyshonda are leafing through the list Edith gave them, perplexed by what just happened.
That woman drugged me.
Forget about that. She gave us this list of Eddie's hoes.
Yeah, but it's too long. So many women. We need to weed out some of them.
Shit. Eddie wasn't even attractive.
And now she wants us to track them all down and find the killer.
Did you look at their hands?
No, they're too small. And I don't think she killed Eddie.
Cripes. This is a hefty list. We can eliminate some suspects with our superior intelligence.
Ha! Huh. Wyshonda turns one of the pages and points at one of the photos.
Bird, starfish, drag queen. No way this gay guy put on a clown costume and killed Eddie. Not chic enough.
Well, no. But Edith says he knows something.
A gossip queen. I say we start with Mr. Starfish.
Do-do-do-do! Interior. Starfish Music Club. Same day. Wyshonda, Lillian, and Sylvia, wearing fancy colorful pants and big sun hats, walk into the dark theater. They study everything in awe. The posters of drag queens, the piano, the rehearsal. The club is filled with small round tables surrounded by cane-back chairs. Detective Fred Dorcas, disguised in drag as Pollyanna, is sitting to the side as if waiting to audition for the club. On the stage, Lilac, a drag queen, is practicing some steps while Shake Your Moneymaker plays in the background. Bert Boyd, also known as Bert Starfish, 40, owner of the club, is directing the rehearsal, clapping his hands, shaking his butt, and encouraging the singer. Sylvia and Wyshonda are sitting at the table, mesmerized, enjoying the atmosphere and the show.
That's right. Shake that booty. Shake it, like the song says.
Bert continues clapping like this for 5 seconds until he notices Wyshonda and Sylvia.
Oh, ladies, can I help you? We're looking for Mr. Starfish. That's me. Call me Bert. Lilac. All right, you guys can take 10. Do you ladies have an act together? Comedy?
No.
Nothing like that. We wondered if you heard about Dr. Eddie Flanders.
Bert Starfish stiffens up. He acts guilty.
Yeah, I know him. Did you hear that he was killed?
Bert, taken aback, crumbles up and sits down as if in pain.
No. When did this happen again?
Bert puts his head in his hands. To the side of the room, Detective Dorcas, as Pollyanna, inches closer to hear the conversation. He pretends to powder his nose, but the compact is actually a microphone.
3 days ago. I was talking with him on Zoom when it happened. He was shot. Oh, you're that lawyer from South Carolina. I heard about you. Eddie told me you were a badass.
Jeez.
Yeah, the police called me here. Trying to figure out who killed him. The police are accusing me.
Bert sits at the table staring at the wall.
I can't believe he's dead. He was here last week.
Wyshonda and Sylvia look at each other.
You know, he was very entertaining. An extreme loudmouth. I love the guy.
Did you ever have sex with him?
Sylvia kicks Wyshonda under the table.
Oh, what? We're detectives now.
Yeah, maybe a couple times. He was having big problems because of the prostate cancer.
You had sex with him?
Eddie had cancer?
Yeah, last year. The surgery was making him really depressed, so tried to help out a bit.
Did it work?
Yeah, it did work. They lose 90% of function. I brought back the 10%.
Bert smiles a little. Well, here's to unconventional treatment. Wyshonda grabs Bert's hand and then holds the hand up for Sylvia to inspect.
Let me read your palm. He didn't do it. See? Short and stubby, sausage fingers.
Why, Shonda measures Bert's fingers with her own hands. Bert grabs his hand back as if offended.
Sausage fingers. Let go of my hand. The hand holding the gun was bigger than yours. Longer. Honey, that ain't true of the rest of you.
Congratulations. The killer was also taller than you.
I would never kill Eddie. He was a friend. Sometimes he brought his women in here to loosen them up. The last one was Dr. Kendall. Yeah, I heard about her. The brilliant children's neurosurgeon. Neonatologist.
Make me want to puke.
Well, yeah, of course she wasn't into my show. And she was mad at Eddie for dating me. Sat there with her arms crossed like a Frankenstein's monster.
Bitch was on 60 Minutes!
Is that show still on? Certain segments of the population watch it, fogies.
Listen, Mr. Starfish, do you think Dr. Kendall killed Eddie?
She was pissed off, and she is well over 6 feet tall, like 6'5".
What?
Yeah. Played basketball to put herself through med school.
A white woman?
Yeah. Eddie says she was pretty good at dribbling and rebounding. I have her phone number.
Well, maybe we need to visit this tall doctor.
All right, I got you. Here's the address. On Saturday, you should come back for the show.
Detective Dorcas, as Pollyanna, exits furtively. Why, Shonda, Lillian, and Sylvia stare at each other after seeing Detective Dorcas.
Was that the homeless guy?
She wasn't here for an audition. That cop just really likes to wear dresses.
That was a cop? We're being followed! Do-do-do-do!
Okay, dear listener, we're going to stop there. And next month, we'll hear part 3 of Zoom Hit and find out who killed Dr. Eddie Flanders and why. Thank you. We hope you'll listen next month. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.